All right, well, it comes that time in the evening for our speaker, and we have Lindy. And you know you're in for a treat because you either got Wikipedia, a country song. What else do you do? I know I saw 12 things on her little note thing, so I'm sure we're in for a treat. She always has a lot to say, so let's give her a big warm welcome for Lindy.
This is how she knew I had 12 things. She didn't know what kinds of things, but there were definitely 12 things. Mm-hmm. Well, I just drove back from 4 days with my family in the Antelope Valley, and I had a great time, and I thought I could talk about Christmas memories, but we didn't create any new memories, we just enhanced upon existing ones. So that topic got thrown out the window. And before I left to go to the Antelope Valley, I came across two posts on Facebook that I really appreciated, and I printed them both out so that I'd be prepared to discuss them in the event that I didn't come back with a different topic. And one was 12 Things Happy People Do Differently from the works of a tribute to Stephen Covey. And one was this beautiful sort of Mary Carita piece of art that starts out today is a new day and ends with you can be the change you wish to see in the world. And in between is everything from embrace kindness to practice compassion, stand up for justice, talk to strangers, ask for help and offer hope, listen with your whole heart, work for the common good, love well, and you can start fresh, wipe the slate clean, and begin again. But that's all I really wanted to say about that. So, what I wanted to talk about was, as it turned out, having had a really fun, happy 4 days with my family, I wanted to talk about God wanting us to be happy and rejoice and joyful. God wants us to be happy and to rejoice and to be joyful. What a concept. I think everyone in the room already knew that, but there are a lot of people out in the world who don't. God, they think that God wants them to be guilty and shameful and rejected and unhappy. Well, I've got news for them. They haven't read their Bible lately, because in the Bible there are many references to happiness and joyfulness, joy. I got my own trap there, joyfulness. Just to remind you of what that trap is, that's the trap in which a person takes an ordinary adjective, joyful, and puts a ness on it to make it a noun, when there's already a noun, joy, that fills the same space, like ecstaticness, or even worse, ecstatic fullness, when there's ecstasy, or you can imagine the oars. I could go on and on. But anyway, I wanted to say joy, not joyfulness. Psalms 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do well, so shall ye dwell in the Lord, and truly you shall be fed. Well, what's not to be joyful about being fed? We did a lot of that over Christmas holiday. I started out with dinner Thursday night at the Cueva Bar and left Friday morning to go to my niece's and spent the next 3 days eating. And then yesterday, of course, we had the traditional Christmas curry. Ours is the only family I know, at least in central Southern California, that has a traditional Christmas curry. But we made two varieties this year for the first time. We made the chicken curry and we made the vegetarian curry for those in our family who have become vegetarians over the last 12 months. So trust in the Lord and do good, so shall you dwell in the Lord, and truly you shall be fed. Psalms 37, verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. delight as opposed to delightfulness. That's where we find joy and are delighted. And you shall receive the desires of your heart. If only we knew what those were. Ecclesiastes, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Eat, drink, and enjoy the gift of your labors, for that's the gift of God. Philippians 4:4, which is in Korean on my desk at work. Yes, you could ask why, but but why? Why not, I ask. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Proverbs 16, verse 20. Those who listen to instruction will prosper, and those who trust the Lord will be joyful. Or, also translated in a different version, he that handles a matter wisely shall find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs 3, 13 and 14. Happy the man. Happy the man in Wikipedia is defined as a rock band that formed in 1977. They are an unusual band in that they play really odd instrumentals with hundreds of percussion instruments. You can see them on YouTube. But in Proverbs it says, happy the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding, for the merchandise of it, wisdom and understanding, is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof better than gold. Wisdom and understanding are better than silver and gold. You can have your silver stolen, or inflation can eat it away, or your dollar bills can be burned up in the house fire, but wisdom never gets taken away. The same with understanding. So the Bible says God wants us to be happy and rejoice. I say again, rejoice. Well, coincidentally, Stephen Covey, in a tribute to Stephen Covey, who died not too long ago, and who is famous for the 7 basic habits of highly effective people, somebody wrote 12 things happy people do differently. And they are expressed gratitude. Number one, I spoke about that a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of months ago, or whenever the heck it was. Gratitude is the most important thing we can do for ourselves, because of a worldview of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, if you will, is a foundation for all of the spiritual gifts and for all of the human gifts, for kindness, for gentleness, for humility, for generosity. When you appreciate what you have appreciates in value, it says here. And if we aren't thankful for what we already have, we'll have a hard time ever being happy. Number two, cultivate optimism, positive attitude. What a concept. Positive attitude is as important as gratitude almost, because if you don't have positive attitude, it's hard to be grateful. All of these are interwoven. All of these spiritual and human gifts are interwoven. They feed with each other. There's a symbiosis where they all work together synergistically, so that the sum is greater than the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Avoid overthinking and social comparison. Avoid overthinking. I can't stand up because I'm overthinking it. I mean, really. I have a physical condition that causes it to be difficult for me to stand up, and every time I think about it, it becomes more and more difficult. So I have to just say, stop it. Just do it, the Nike motto. And sometimes I can actually stand up. And when I can't, I have my team. That was evident this weekend as well. There were 3 men, 2 boys, 4 girls, and 5 women. And there was always a hand or two when I wanted to stand up. I somehow have evolved into the matriarch of my family, which is not a bad place to be, by the way, when you're working on chicken curry and vegetarian curry, and the 12 or so different side dishes that we put on top of it. Our kind of curry is stacky-uppy. You know, you make chicken curry or vegetarian curry, and then you put on it bananas, pineapple, mandarin oranges, nuts, hard-boiled egg, bacon, chutney, two kinds of chutney. They both have to be spicy and hot, and whatever else you can think of. When my brother turned 21, this tradition's been going on for a while in my family. When my brother turned 21, and he's currently 67, 68, something like that, he had 21 side dishes on his 21st birthday. We had curry, 21 sambal curry. Anyway, positive thinking is better than overthinking, so get over the overthinking. And it says, comparing yourself to someone else can be poisonous. The only person you should compare to yourself is yourself before now. So it's okay to say, I'm better than I was, or not as good as I was a year ago. But it's not okay to say, I'm not as good as Kimberly, or I'm not as good as Barbara. Because that's useless. Kimberly is Kimberly, and Barbara is Barbara, and I'm not either one of them. I'm Lindy. Wait a minute, let me check. Am I still Lindy? Okay. So, avoid overthinking and social comparison. Practice acts of kindness. Selflessly helping someone is a super powerful way to feel good inside. Millie teaches that when you're down and low, the best thing to do is reach out to someone who's downer and lower. Pardon my grammar. But if we find someone who is in more trouble, more pain, more depression, and needs more help than we do, then it's up to us to reach out. And that makes us feel good. Number 5, nurture social relationships. The happiest people on the planet are the ones who have deep, meaningful relationships. Now, it is possible for those of us who don't have romantic relationships to have deep, meaningful relationships with someone in a non-romantic setting. So don't be deceived. This doesn't mean get a significant other. This means nurture deep, meaningful relationships with those people with whom you have relationships already. And for people who can't form deep, meaningful relationships, they can drift out of your life quite gracefully. Sometimes that's necessary for you to have time for the deep, meaningful relationships. Number 6, develop strategies for coping. It says, have coping strategies all prepared in your back pocket so that when you need them, they'll be at hand. Well, isn't that what life's all about? Isn't that what survival is about, having coping strategies at hand? But how often are we able to actually maneuver them in the moment? You know, it's like you have a howitzer, so when you get a little artillery attack, you can fire back. But the artillery is so scary that you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, and you can't bring your attention to bear on the howitzer to fire back. So courage under stress and keeping calm under chaos are two gifts that you can have that will help you get your coping strategies at hand. Now, being able to stay calm in the middle of chaos is something that I attempted and failed to do yesterday. With 14 people in a double-wide trailer, there was a lot of chaos. But it wasn't until today that the kids started biting each other. For real. Number 7, learn to forgive. It speaks for itself, and it speaks volumes. I can bring the example of Newtown into place in this number 7. It is, by all accounts, impossible for a parent to forgive the murderer of their child. But as Christians, we know that without the forgiveness, they'll never achieve happiness. And not to say they can't achieve happiness with their children dead, but it's better than being vindictive and resentful and angry for the rest of their lives. If they could forgive, it would help them heal much more quickly than if they can't. Number 8, increase flow experiences. That means watching more progressive ads on TV. Or maybe it doesn't. It says flow is a state in which it feels like time stands still. It's when you're so focused on what you're doing that you become one with the task, and nothing is distracting you or competing for your focus. That's like me playing Bubble Pop. Although I don't really play Bubble Pop anymore, Bubble Pop stands as a metaphor for all of the other games that I do play. Time stands still, and I'm focused in on the moment so much that everything else loses perspective. But if you can have more experiences like that in the real world and in meaningful activities, then it is really a good thing. Number 9, savor life's joys. Deep happiness cannot exist without slowing down to enjoy the joy. What do you mean, enjoy the joy? Well, if you're in the flow and you're feeling joy, that means savoring it. It's like, I hate to keep using this example, but Linda will bear me out and everybody who's been there. When we eat Oz's brisket at the Cueva Bar, you don't want to eat it quickly because you want to savor every bite. You want to be in the flow of the brisket, focused on it so much that nothing can distract you. And then you can enjoy it to its fullest. Savor life's joys. Number 10, commit to your goals. Magical things start happening when we commit ourselves to doing whatever it is it takes to get somewhere. However, there is a small caveat written in this one, and that is to get somewhere. One has to decide upon what somewhere one wants to get to. So before you commit to your goals, make sure that your goals are the right ones. Commit to an understanding of what your goals need to be and search for that before you search for the end goal. Develop a game plan to get to knowing what you want before you develop a game plan to get it. That's Lindy speak. Number 11, practice spirituality. Well, we're all here, aren't we? And we're all here pretty regularly. And we're all here because we want to practice our spirituality and grow in depth in the walk with the divine. And this church facilitates that by understanding that God is love and by being a loving church. We just have lovefulness everywhere. Oh, wait. I did it again, didn't I? But that time deliberately, okay. And number 12, take care of your body. Taking care of your body is crucial to being the happiest person you can be. Well, I could drink to that. But if I did, I'd have to swallow 6 pills with it. Or 12 or 18. The doctor told me last week my potassium was low and she prescribed 2 times the normal the dose that I had been taking, and then it was still low a week later, and she prescribed 2 more times the dose that I had been taking. And these pills are like the size of this box. And even when you break them in half, I can't swallow them. So it takes me about 3-4 gulps of water for every pill, for every half a pill. And then I have to run to the bathroom. Too much information, I know, but that's the facts. So commit to taking care of our bodies, because we can't be truly happy without healthy bodies. And we can't be truly unhappy with healthy bodies. Now, I did a little bit of playing around on the internet between 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock tonight when I got home. And I found this wonderful website that's named wordsofloveforyou.com, all one, no spaces. And there were, I discovered at wordsofloveforyou.com about 70 random thoughts on happiness, and I wanted to share some of them with you because I have about as much time as I want Millie not being here. This goes back to Psalms 144, verse 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. In no particular order, with no particular emphasis or importance, let me share some of these thoughts with you. God created you to enjoy the life he's given you, and to love and enjoy him forever, and to try to help others to do the same. The kind of people God wants are people that love him and are happy in him, and love to sing and dance and play, and dance for the Lord and shout his praises and his salvation from the housetops. Joy that isn't shared dies young. I'm happy if you're happy, because that makes me happy too. Did you get that one? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. They say if you want to be happy for 2 hours, get drunk. If you want to be happy for 2 weeks, get married. But if you want to be happy forever... Oh, wait, you haven't heard the punchline. But if you want to be happy forever, and then it ends. If you want to be happy forever, you have to figure out how to be happy. Because this particular website's not going to tell you. If I never get any further than this, I'd have had a great time getting this far. The Lord made life for us to enjoy, and I like to enjoy it to the fullest. My psychologist takes real exception to my mottos, but one of my mottos is, if it's worth doing, it's worth overdoing. And another one is, nothing succeeds like excess. So, the Lord made life for us to enjoy, and I like to enjoy it to the fullest, is right up my alley. You too can joy with others share and heal the hearts to you laid bare. If you'll but pour the oil of love, he'll give you from his heart above. Some of these are more profound than others, but you see how they go. The time to be happy is now, and the place to be happy is here, and the way to be happy is to make others happy, and we'll have a little heaven right here. The only way on earth to multiply happiness is to divide it. A sad world cannot be sweetened by sour religion. Somebody needs to tell some of those other churches that. Not New Church, though. They don't need to know that. They can do the hokey pokey. And if you can do the hokey pokey, you can't be sad. It's like singing if you're happy and you know it. You have to clap your hands, because even if you weren't happy before you sang it, you were in the moment. It's a flow experience. Just singing, if you're happy and you know it, just doing the hokey pokey are flow experiences. Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. It used to be number 33, but now we don't know its number. It's in the songbook. Enjoy yourself. It's later. 225. Okay, maybe we can have that during the offering. Thank you, Jane. Happiness is thinking about others, not yourself. There are 5 keys to fulfillment. Obey our great God, dream great dreams, plan great plans, pray great prayers, and claim great victories. How about this? Jesus, others, and you spell joy. J for Jesus, O for others, and U for you. I mean, Y for you. Life is hard by the yard, by the inch it's a cinch. Life is not, happiness is not a station you arrive at, but a manner of traveling. Happiness is a thing to be practiced, like a violin. Though you travel the world over to find the beautiful, you must carry it with you, or you'll find it not. And that thought brings my country song into play. It is a song by George Strait, "Carrying Your My Love, Carrying Your Love With Me." All I got is that beat-up leather bag, and everything I own don't fill up half. But don't you worry about the way I pack. All I care about is getting back real soon. A goodbye kiss is all I need from you. I'm carrying your love with me, West Virginia down to Tennessee. I'll be moving with the good Lord's speed, carrying your love with me. It's my strength for holding on every minute that I have to be gone. I'll carry everything I need, carrying your love with me. And that's what happiness is. We carry it with ourselves, by ourselves, and for ourselves. You know, happiness is a choice. Anytime you come to a fork in the road, you can choose the happiness road, or you can choose the unhappiness road, because unhappiness is also a choice. And as long as we choose the happiness road, then we'll be able to say that today is a new day. We'll be able to act on, embrace kindness, practice compassion, stand up for justice, talk to strangers, ask for help, offer hope, listen with your whole heart, and so forth. Love well. We can be the change that we want to see in the world, because every day is a new day when we choose happiness. Take a cup of kindness, mix it well with love. Add a lot of patience and faith in God above. Sprinkle generously with joy and thanks and cheer, and you'll have a lot of angel food to feast on all the year. The Christmas feasts are over, but the happiness feasts may begin. And thank you for giving me this time. And the extra time, too.